CTV.
We have so many advantages as members of the body of Christ to help us get through this life. We have advantages, let us say, tricks up our sleeve that other people don't have. Yesterday, I talked about being receptively oriented, that God has oriented us, put us in our place on this earth. He has worked out our circumstances down to every single detail. Our past, where we were born, who our parents were, what schools we went to, everything, the things we read, the books our parents read us. Everything was orchestrated to bring us to a point where we are receptively oriented. Some telescopes are very sophisticated, and you can put in a coordinate for a certain star, and that telescope will rotate to that exact coordinate, because only at that coordinate will you be able to see that particular star. And it's the same here. There is only one coordinate to down to the 100th of a degree on the 360 degree compass. There's only one coordinate that would make us receptive to the things of the Spirit of God, that would make us receptive to Paul's gospel. I'm talking down to the 1/100th of a degree, and it goes even further than that, but let's take that. That's good enough. So it's not only a 1 in 360 chance. It's 1 in 36,000 or 360,000, however that works out. It's more, because it's not just 1 degree, it's a increment of 1 degree that makes us receive it and other people not, because of our situation, our orientation. You've heard scientists explain, physicists, geologists, that the Earth is perfectly situated to sustain life. That if it were any closer to the sun, life would not be sustained. If it were any farther away from the sun, life would not be sustained. But what do you know? The Earth is perfectly situated to sustain life. Likewise, you and I, we are perfectly situated to pick up the frequency of God. It's almost like a radio frequency. Unless you're tuned to that frequency, you won't pick up that station, that broadcast. You know how it is when you're driving in your car and you want to pick up 100.9 FM. When you're at 100.8, you don't get it. When you're at 101, you don't get it. 100, whatever I said, 100.8, 100.9. Yeah, you only get it when you're tuned to that frequency. But it's even more specific with the Spirit of God, because in your car you can hear bleeding. Maybe this is also true of the Spirit, now that I'm thinking about this. You hear bleed over. You get close to the right frequency. You get close to that magic degree, to the spiritual degree that will enable you to be so perfectly positioned and oriented that you will hear the truth. When you get close to it, you sort of hear it coming in. When you're driving, you're tuned into that frequency. Let's say you're trying to dial it in. You get within one degree of it, you start to hear it. It's a little indistinct. There's crosstalk. You don't get it quite clearly. This describes our experiences in religion. Every now and then, we would be turned and it would come in. It would come in. The truth of God would come in. We have a bead on it and a beam on it. But then other voices overtalked it. Other voices kept us from hearing it, and it would fade. You hear the crackle. You hear indistinct chatter from other stations. But God, in His mercy, has made sure that we are oriented at the perfect place. This is so rare. I want you to understand how rare this is, at the perfect place to receive the things of the Spirit of God. I have not introduced myself yet. Many of you already know me. This is Martin Zender. I am broadcasting from a laundry room at an Airbnb in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is where God has oriented me right now, but it was years ago when He oriented me spiritually to see things, to read the Scripture. I'm not saying that these revelations come apart from Scripture. No, but isn't it interesting that some scriptural passages that you have looked at in the past, you didn't understand them. And today, when you read these passages, boom, they are opened up to you. This is the work of the God of God in positioning you to receive. It is, let's turn to the clock here, 5:40 a.m. I get up early. I was up at 4 o'clock today. It's still dark out on Thursday. I like this. I like talking to you in the anonymity of pre-dawn. Our Lord would rise early to go into the mountains and pray and talk to God before the noise. Oh, yes, speaking of noise, before the crosstalk starts, before other stations start bombarding you. Can we get out of position so we don't hear these things? I think so. I think we have to reorient occasionally to make sure that we're still hearing pure word of God. Many competing voices come into our lives. But there is a force within us, and I want to pick up where I left off yesterday in the book of Romans. Chapter 8, there's a force within us. It's called the Spirit of God. This is an advantage I spoke to you about that we have that other people don't have. I'm not saying that other people don't have the Spirit of God, because it takes the Spirit of God for a human being to stand on his or her 2 feet. Spirit of God is the only thing that can give life. Even Adolf Hitler had the Spirit of God. But we have it in greater measure. We have a God who has a familial relationship with us, an intimate relationship, a friendship relationship. And He points us in the right direction. That's another way to say all this, isn't it? We are pointed in the right direction. And we don't have the wisdom to know where that exact coordinate is to receive the words that we are supposed to receive, to receive the knowledge that we are supposed to receive that is hidden, even now at present, from the rest of the world. Hidden. Who has the wisdom to know? None of us have the wisdom to know. Only God has the wisdom to know. And it is God who has oriented us. And not only that, but He has given His Spirit to us. Yesterday I left off, excuse me, in Romans 8:25. And remember, I'm reading from the Devar translation. There it is. Also called the Rit, because I'm still waiting to get my concordant literal New Testament back. But this is of God that I'm reading from this version, because I think we're getting some interesting literal renderings, even more literal than the concordant literal New Testament. And I think this is really, it's helping me anyway. I'm assuming it's helping you to flesh out some of these things that we've studied for years. For instance, being receptively oriented. I could talk for the rest of the week on that, and most of next week, just on being receptively oriented. I love that. I ended yesterday in verse 25 of Romans. If we expect what we do not see, We are receptively oriented. That is, we are waiting for it. We are appreciating it because we still expect it because it's not here yet. And this, it tries us. It vexes us because it calls for faith. Faith, of course, is an expectation, not a hope, an expectation concerning things that are not yet being observed. We are not yet observing our new bodies. We are not yet observing our place among the celestials, but we wait for it with endurance. That's the word of the day. All right. I talked to several people, members of the body of Christ. That's the only people I talked to, really. And the word I gave all of them, and it's the word I give myself in these days, is endurance. Sometimes that's as good as it gets. If you're enduring, Paul says, those who are enduring to the presence of the Lord. Yes, sometimes that's as good as it gets. And it's good enough. Verse 26. But similarly, the Spirit also takes together with us in our stead our weakness. The Spirit of God in us takes together with us in our stead our weaknesses. So the Spirit of God, that's a very obtuse way to say it, but there's some insight in there that I'd like to explore. The Spirit of God, which is God's operation, the Spirit of God is not a separate member of a fictitious Trinity. The Spirit of God is the power of God. It's the activity of God. It's the observable phenomenon of God's action in the world. That's the Spirit of God. It's the power by which and through which God operates. That Spirit is in us, and it takes over where we can't figure things out. The Spirit, the way Concordance says, the Spirit aids our infirmity. The Spirit says, these people don't know exactly what's going on. I'm going to aid them. I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to talk to God on their behalf. I'm going to fine-tune this orientation, and I'm going to do it on their behalf because, consciously, these people just aren't smart enough. That's what is meant by our infirmity, or as the DeVar translation says, our weakness. The Spirit takes together with us. The Spirit is on our side. It takes together with us our weakness, and it takes it away. It goes further. It goes into places where we can't go because of our infirmity. To continue, for what we should pray, this is an example of the Spirit in action. For what we should pray according to what it is binding, we do not perceive. What does that mean? What is binding means what must occur. I think the Concordant version puts it that way. To pray for what must occur, we don't know. We don't know what must occur. This word binding and must occur speaks to us of a plan of God that was set forth, set out from the beginning, from before anything existed. God has set everything, every experience, every single event of our lives and of the world, set it in concrete before it even started. But we consciously don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We don't know what to pray for to accord. I know now. Now I know the way the Concordant puts it. To accord with what must be. We don't know what to pray for. To accord, to agree with what must be. The DeVar translation says, according to what is binding. God is bound to what he already decided to do. We do not perceive this, but the Spirit himself, this is a figure, the Spirit is not another identity, it's the power of God, does over intercede in unspeakable sighs. Listen to this. The Spirit itself over intercedes. Concordance says pleading for us. I don't like that, pleading for us. When I was a kid and I heard that Christ was like pleading for me at the right hand of God, I pictured Jesus Christ like on his knees before God. I was like, please be nice to them. I died for them. I know you're a mean, angry father. And I know that if it weren't for me pleading on their behalf, you would wipe them out. It's not that way. A plea in court is a guilty or not guilty? How do you plead not guilty? Jesus Christ pleads for us in a legal sense, in a courtroom sense, in a judicial sense. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, by virtue of his blood. How do you like that? He's doing that continuously. And the Spirit inside of us over intercedes. It overdoes it. I like it. Over intercedes. The Greek prefix must be existent here. I know because of the word over, the Greek prefix hooper, H-U-P-E-R, which means over. It over intercedes. Concordant doesn't bring that out here. It goes above and beyond what we need. It takes over in our infirmity, right? Where our infirmity, where our power, let's say, stops, the Spirit's power begins. It's still all the Spirit's power, but our conscious awareness of what must be, our conscious awareness of where we need to be, we don't know. Spirit does. Spirit over intercepts, over intercedes, kind of intercepts too. It intercepts us and says, relax, kid, we'll take it from here. That's the Spirit of God. I quote the Spirit of God, relax, kid, we'll take it from here. And we relax, and the Spirit takes over in unspeakable sighs. This is the Word of God. Unspeakable sighs. The Concordance says inarticulate groanings. Our groanings can be heard, and I demonstrated that yesterday. And so on and so forth. But the Spirit also groans, but it groans inarticulately because it's more complex, it's more knowledgeable, it's more sophisticated, and it's groaning, and it's sighing is also more sophisticated. But it's interesting that it still seems to strain. It's working. That's because it's working. The Spirit within us is always working, even while we're sleeping. So the Spirit over intercedes. Thank God for that. It takes not only takes over, but it overdoes it. And just got to make sure we got things covered here. You go ahead, Spirit. Wake me up when it's over. Over intercedes in unspeakable sighs. Oh, in the footnote, the Devar translation has here, in constricted sounds. But the one searching the hearts perceives. God, the one searching our hearts, perceives what the mindedness of the Spirit is. And why wouldn't he? Because it's his power as manifested in us. God is invisible. God is inaudible. God is intangible. But the Spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the results of the wind. You see the leaves of the trees blowing, and you know that there's wind, but you can't see it. We perceive God in our lives because of the fruit of what the Spirit is doing. And now we can see the fruit. We can see when we exercise love, joy, peace, or patience, or any of the other fruit of the Spirit. But we can't see this. So Romans 8:26-27 is giving us a glimpse behind the curtain. We're getting super secret, but pretty cool information here that the Spirit of God inside of us is working overtime to communicate with God himself on our behalf. And why wouldn't that happen? Because the one who is searching the hearts, God, perceives what the mindedness of the Spirit is. Of course, they're on the same page. They're on the same channel. They're listening to the same frequency. Since he intercedes for holy ones according to God. According to God, in agreement with God. We would like to be in agreement with God all the time. But we don't know exactly what must be, what is binding in accord with God's plan. But the good news is the Spirit of God within us does know. And it has a secret communication going on. Well, it's not secret anymore because we just read about it. It has a constant, let's put it that way, communication with God. And why shouldn't it? It is God's operation. And this occurs within us. We groan with articulate groanings, but according to the Word of God, Paul, under inspiration, the Spirit also groans inarticulately, but nevertheless, certainly, for us. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way we can lose.